Welcome to the Designing Hollywood podcast in association with the John Campia Show. I'm your host, Tess McLeod. Today I have with me Lindsay Keir, who is the business owner of the newly launched The Costume Consultant, where she helps support the dreams of people navigating the world of costumes and how to get their start. Her story began when she gave up her life of bright lights and cityscapes as a New York native and moved to Los Angeles to pursue a different kind of sparkle. Welcome to La La Land. Her costume designs, styling have been featured in a wide array of commercials, television, features, print, and red carpet. Feels like intimidating. Her early years of working in fashion houses under designers such as Ralph Lauren were spent creating and sourcing textiles for custom garments. After attending the Fashion Institute of Technology styling program, her career catapulted her to the West Coast. By combining her eye for style and her innate character insight, Lindsay seamlessly pulled together her aesthetic detail for both costume design and styling. She most recently worked under costume designer Anne Foley on She-Hulk. Thank you so much for being here today, Lindsay. I am so excited to pick your brain about your life, your career, all the amazing designers you've had the pleasure of working with. I cannot wait. How did you get your start into this entire costume world?
Well, it kind of began when I was a kid and I never really realized it. I used to do dress ups with my cousins and every family gathering and put on shows. I was obsessed with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, probably at an age that I didn't even know what was really going on in the movie. But I wanted to be wearing every single costume. So, you know, I went to school in upstate New York in Ithaca College, where I majored in business and communications. And when I graduated, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I started temping at different agencies where they would place me at different companies, and if the company needed extra help that day. So what it really taught me was things that I did not want to do as far as types of jobs. I knew I didn't want to wear a suit. I knew I didn't want to do 9-to-5. You know, one of my worst temp jobs was working at a newspaper company, cold calling, giving out surveys. It just so happened that day that the newspaper delivery service didn't happen. So I got a lot more of an earful than the surveys. So,
oh, I bet.
So eventually I said, I want to work in fashion. I'm not really sure where or what or how. And the next day they called me and they said, how quickly can you be at Ralph Lauren?
So that was my first
big job. And when I worked there, I didn't even know how to answer the phone, let alone be an assistant to the vice president of fabric development. So I got to do all of the fashion week shows, and Ralph would bring in a stylist that would put the looks together. And that was the first time where I was like, I want that job.
Yeah. So it kind of just pulled at your heartstrings a little bit. You're like, that is the job I want. This is something I'm really interested in.
Exactly. It got me really excited. And so from there, I was on a mission to figure out how I could do it. There wasn't any path at that point. Like, there was no educational program. I didn't really know about costume design yet at that point. So I just kept asking questions, and I was scouring Craigslist for internships any way possible to assist people. And then I moved on to Coach Handbags and worked there for a couple years. And while I was there, MIT started a styling program that I started doing nights and weekends.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you did FIT while also working, and you kind of did it in tandem. Oh, wow. You're busy. You were busy.
Yeah.
And I must say,
So then after I completed the styling program, I was already kind of assisting at that point. And I felt like I was really done with New York City. I'd always wanted to move to LA. And I started networking, emailing, contacting anybody I could find on the internet. This is like before Facebook. And finally, one person agreed to meet with me when I moved to LA. And so I moved to LA. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a job. I didn't have an apartment.
Oh my gosh.
But failure wasn't an option for me. So within two weeks, I had all of those things. So I didn't have to sleep on my friend's air mattress anymore.
No, you're like, I am done sleeping on your mattress. I'm going to do all these things that you have to do in order to live in Los Angeles. How cool. Okay, so you started with Rocky Horror. Did you ever do any like theater growing up that you were really interested in, like the costume design, the strings behind the curtain type of things?
So I actually was more of an actor type. I took acting classes. I was in
Oh,
all the school
nice.
plays. I remember the very first time being on a set. I was doing a commercial and being in the makeup chair in the trailer, and the makeup artists were the TV was on, and they were commenting on, every commercial that came on. They're like, "Oh, I did that one. I did that one." And I just really wanted to be a part of it. I wasn't quite sure how, but I just felt really drawn to the industry that I needed to figure it out.
And working at fashion houses like Ralph Lauren or working with at Coach, did you learn a lot about leather, textiles, all of like the amalgamation of where to buy certain fabrics? Like, did that help your career in the long run?
Yeah, and it between yes. So I was the fabric library assistant at Ralph Lauren. So I managed the fabric library for women's collection and men's Purple Label, which is his highest end line. So we kind of established the bar as far as fabric goes. So everyone else in the company that worked for like the more affordable labels like Blue Label or Rugby at the time, they would come to me and ask me what fabrics we were doing. And then they had to figure out a cheaper price point. So we set the standard for the company. And so I learned about yardage, how much yardage we had to order, the price point, worked with the fabric mills in Europe, Italy, and China. And I learned about, the face of the fabric, the back of the fabric, the
Oh
warp and
my
the weft.
gosh.
And then also, even just like from a business standpoint, I learned so much coming from corporate that has helped me in this freelance world because working in costumes and being creative, we don't really have a lot of business training. And so that foundation has really helped me.
Yeah, and it's probably really helped you communicate what kind of fabric and all these fabrics that you got to learn with all the textiles, and I feel like you have like this entire archive of all this fabric and information that you got from your previous jobs and at probably FIT that really helped.
I also learned about color. So when I worked at Coach, I was in charge of approving dye lots and also the patterns. So I when the fabric mills would do a sample run, they would send me yardage for color approval, and I had to, look at it in the light box and other different color lights and make sure the patterns were straight and the repeats were straight. So I learned a lot about that.
Yeah, of course. And can you explain what a dye lot is,
Sure.
please?
So as far as fabric goes, when they are creating the fabric and dyeing it, they do certain amount of batches depending on how many yards they can fit into the, say, like a pot, for example, dye pot. And so it doesn't always match. And so they need to send color swatches of all the different dye lots that they do and see which one we prefer the best, and then communicate with them if that they feel like they can control the dye enough to create a large batch of fabric. So then it's consistent when they go into production.
Oh, that's so interesting. I had no idea that that was a type of practice. Oh, that's so cool. Thank you so much for
Dyeing is
explaining that.
definitely an
Wow.
art.
Dyeing is definitely art, and you've probably seen that within your career, lots of aging and dyeing happening through various projects and everything. So that's very cool. You probably have a really good knowledge about that.
I'm always impressed on shows like, for example, like The Handmaid's Tale with all of the red coats and the matching garments and the blues. To see them all consistent in color
Definitely.
shade is very, very difficult to hit. So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of people don't know that there are aging and dyeing teams specifically like for costume departments, fashion houses, everything. It's an art that when I first got into costume design had no like di I didn't even know about. It's really it's really quite fascinating with all the color theory and everything. So that's so cool that you got to do all of that fascinating work at these huge houses. That's so cool. So after you worked in, you know, fashion, and then you did some acting growing up. How was that transition with fashion and film? What's the environment like? How much did it differ? What were the hours like, you know, between the two for you?
Yeah. So I was really interested in staying in the fashion world as far as photo shoots go, but I really wanted to pursue costume design and TV and film. So for, I would say about 10 years, I still did both. So I would do fashion shoots, I would do catalog shoots, and then as well as be a PA for a couple of years on TV shows. But I remember my first day at the Sony lot when I was going in for my interview. It was right before the writer's strike in 2007. And the lot was like bustling. And I just remember having this like Hollywood moment where I've like arrived. Like I remember there was these, back in the day, Geico had these two caveman characters, and the cavemen ended up having their own pilot. And I saw them both at the lot in full makeup, hanging outside their trailers, and I was like, I can't believe I'm here right now.
Oh my gosh.
And so you know, when I got into TV and film, I was kind of naive. I didn't really understand like the hours and the amount of dedication that it took to it, but I was so committed that there wasn't any other way for me. Right. And so you know, for 10 years I said yes to everything. Any type of job, it didn't matter the pay, if it was free. People needed help, I was always willing to say yes. And because I wanted to meet people, and I didn't want to get kind of pigeonholed into one type of you know, medium. So that's how I've done everything from photo shoots to red carpet to TV, film, music videos, and commercials.
Oh my gosh. So, and I feel like you kind of have to say yes to a lot because you want to keep making contacts and you want to keep, you know, you want to keep obviously like paying rent and making money and learning everything, you know? But that's so fascinating because I know some people, they would, you know, pick and choose a little bit, but it's really great because then also you get to know what you like and you get to see, you know, maybe what you're great at, what you're good at, everything.
Right. Yeah. And for me, like, I really wanted to prove my knowledge of how to do the job. Like, I've never really been the type of person, fake it till you make it, to gain the experience. I want to be educated in what I'm speaking about. I want to show up and know what I'm doing. And so I've really learned so much on the job and by saying yes. And also meeting all these different people, it's still paying off in my career. My network of people is so extensive. And I know a lot of different types of people. And it's kept me working for the last 15 years.
Yeah, definitely. And then since you've been working, you've worked a lot as ACD, also known as an assistant costume designer. Can you tell us what your first project was like as an assistant costume designer?
Sure. I think, I'm trying to remember. I think it was called Sympathy for Delicious. And it was a small indie project. Aaron Benick was the costume designer and Mark Ruffalo was designing. Directing. And there was only three or four of us on the project. It was a lot of heavy hitter movie stars. It was Orlando Bloom, Laura Linney. Mark was also in it, Juliette Lewis. So it was a crazy experience. I remember we would go do their fittings. I was going into their houses and I was this is the best job ever. you know, and I learned a lot because I had just gotten to the union at that point and I was given this responsibility that I needed to, you know everything that was going on. And before becoming an assistant, I really have done so many other positions within the department. Which has helped me be the best assistant and costume designer I feel like I can be because I learned to do, you know, other people's jobs and I know what their needs are when they come to me and they say, you know, I need more multiples or I need more supplies or, you know, I don't question them because I know what it takes to do that job and to be on set in the middle of the night and be stranded and no one is there to help you and you just have to figure it out.
Definitely. You know, so
being in those other positions has helped me do my job the best as possible. So I think Sympathy for Delicious was my first official ACG job. And then I moved on to Seven Psychopaths with Karen Patch was the designer. Mm-hmm. And same thing, it was a smaller budget. And, you know, the smaller budgets can be really great. You become like really close with the cast and mm-hmm. you're just in it for the art and trying to make it work and you know, trying to make the best project you can.
Yeah. And it's also, it's like really great contacts, you know, mm-hmm. the smaller projects, you get to meet everyone, like you said. Wow. That's so interesting. So it feels like, oh my gosh. And it probably makes it really easy since you've done other jobs within the costume department to now as a designer, as an ACD, to communicate with everyone else's roles. You know, it's like you can communicate probably in a way that they could understand because you've done these other roles instead of coming at it in an angle that maybe they wouldn't understand as much.
Yes. And, you know, it's got its good things and bad things because sometimes I assume other people have had the same path and, you mm-hmm. know, when I'm like, oh, just go age the shoes in the parking lot. And I never realized that some people never had to do that before where, right. you know, I've been aging clothes in the parking lot and stomping on them on the ground to get real dirt on them. And, mm-hmm. you know, on the smaller projects, you don't have an aging department where you have right. that luxury of artists painting and creating, you know, these clothes to make them look a certain way where I've had to figure out how to do it in a natural way mm-hmm. with no money mm-hmm. and also like 5 minutes before it has to go on camera. So, you know, my experience it hasn't been the same as many people, but I think that it has made me a really well-rounded member of the costume team.
Yeah, of course. And what other jobs within the costume department have you done besides, of course, like being assistant costume designer or designer? What other jobs have you done?
So I started off as a shopper and shopping really helped me learn about like the different vendors in town and the different resources. And also it helped me gain the trust of costume designers that I had a certain level of style and knew how to be resourceful. And right. that's ultimately how I transitioned into being an assistant because I knew where to get, you know, leather pants at 7 p.m. I knew how to, you know, get like one of kind pieces and just different. I had also made connections throughout the years of people, mm-hmm. you know, you need a lot of favors in this industry and, you know, creating and cultivating those relationships are really mm-hmm. important. And they even help me today, you know, as an assistant and just because I know certain vendors doesn't mean that other people know certain vendors and vice versa. Right. So I think that it's just it's always a learning experience. So yeah. I started as a shopper, but I also did set, I did a lot of commercials and commercials, you kind of do every position because usually it's mm-hmm. a smaller team. Mm-hmm. So when I was an assistant on commercials, I did everything from set to shopping to fitting. And then also the assistant is in charge of managing the budget. So I learned how to do all the paperwork and work on the production. Yeah. So commercials, you really learn a lot hands-on where on bigger projects, you know, certain people have like certain roles and you don't really get that exposure.
Right. Oh, okay. And then what is it like being an ACD that you know, you've worked on really large projects. You've worked on some of the biggest movies, feels like in the world, you know, what does that job entail? Like, what is your day to day as an ACD?
Every day is different. So, it's a lot of responsibility that I really don't take lightly. And, you know, my first task is to definitely support the costume designer in anything they need. Both with job stuff and also sometimes the emotional support, it can be really grinding. The hours are really difficult. And, you know, I find myself being the cheerleader a lot of the times, trying to keep morale up. But, you know, usually I like to protect the designer from a lot of problems that are going on in the department. I oversee a lot. I oversee the set costumers, anything that they need. I oversee the workroom with the cutter fitters, make sure that they need to stay on a schedule so the costumes are ready for camera. I oversee the aging and breakdown department and making same thing. I translate the creative notes from the designer, and I also keep them on schedule. And then also I sometimes represent the designer when they're not available as like a representative on set, where if I need to establish something or if the actor is having an issue in the trailer and needs somebody to come tell them they look great or change something out. I also do all of the fittings as well. So creatively, I'm there in the fitting, helping develop the character. And then also sometimes if I need to go out shopping, I do that. So it's really everything. And that's why going back to my experience, like learning other people's jobs and how they function, helped me communicate to other people. Like, for example, like I don't have experience in draping or construction as far as building garments, but because I've been in so many fittings and I've worked with the workroom team so long, I've learned how to communicate and use their language and to be able to speak, you know, construction and how to do made to order stuff. Even though I can't physically sew it, I know how to be creative and I know how to get it done.
Right. And you probably also know how to, you know, explain how to tailor, what a dart is, what, you know, you knew that this needs to be taken in on a suit, you know, what maybe is possible now because you've had all that experience and you can communicate, you know, which is really impressive because it's complicated. It's very complicated.
It is complicated. And I actually also started out in, I did a lot of comedy in when I first got into the union. So I learned a lot about like tearaway clothes and, you know, when they put the costume underneath and like how to do it. Like, do you do it with Velcro or do you do it with magnets? Like what's going to keep it, you know, still on the body, but be like weak enough. It's strong enough to keep it on the body, but it's weak enough that when they rip off their outer layer, it all comes undone. Or hiding different seams or zippers and all different stuff, like just like for gags. So that has helped me be creative with construction. And I've actually been able to teach the tailors a thing or two.
Oh my gosh. That is so interesting.
It's all about the people's experience, right? If they didn't have experience in this, then they don't really necessarily know where, like, I've done it before. Or I've done a lot of action movies and where it's really stunt heavy and creating gussets and putting spandex in between scenes and, you know, harnesses and building in seams for pick points. Like which is the pick points are for harness. So like I did a spacesuit show where they're supposed to be floating and, you know, like, but you don't want to cut a hole in the astronaut suit. So how do you, where's the wire come in? You want to make it look like part of the suit, right? So yeah, stuff like that.
It's so technical. And it's when you're watching a film or a TV show or a commercial, you don't really think about how much work and technicality goes into certain costumes. But with your experience, of course, it's like, you know, and you have, you know, this giant knowledge of comedy, you know, Rocky Horror, you know, everything commercial, you know, you seems like you've done so much that it feels like if something gets thrown at you, you probably have a solution because you have this, you know, decade, two decades worth of knowledge and experience.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a whole other conversation, but I call it crisis management. Like we are constantly under pressure and trying to be solution oriented and figuring it out as opposed to just saying, no, we can't do that. Like,
of course,
usually that's not an option, saying no. So it's my job to think very quickly and efficiently and trying to come up with an answer of how to get it done.
And have you learned a lot through Has time management helped you a lot? Because if you're like under the gun and you really need something done and you and the designer are working, has time management skill, like how, what has that been like trying to practice that? Or have you always been kind of like a person who's been good at time management? Because I feel like it's so hard to learn and it's like
It's
it
really
seems like,
hard.
it's so hard.
I really have accepted the fact that I work the best under pressure. It's not always the healthiest choice, so I am learning a new different skill set now in my 40s of how to, approach things in healthier manners and more efficient ways. So I'm not under the gun, even though I do work the best under pressure. So, I try to chip away at my list little by little. And I'm really big into communicating with the team. And I love having weekly meetings and check-ins and, seeing what's on everybody else's plate because I know what it's like having the pressure and feeling like the whole thing is your responsibility and you have to figure it out alone. And the fact is that in the costume department, you're not alone. There's other people that are there. And, I like to be in a supportive team environment where, again, like my experience is different than other people's experience. So other people might have quicker, more efficient ways of doing things, or they might love doing a certain task that I hate doing. Like, I hate pulling shoes in the costume rental house. Like, I hate it. It's one of my number one things that I do not like doing. And some people don't mind. They love pulling shoes. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take that off my plate and I'm going to give it to you because my time is doing something else.
And it's also trying to find, your strengths and weaknesses. It's like if you're gonna Your strength, if your strength is not pulling shoes and your strength is managing someone, so like some other time, making a creative decision, supporting the costume designer, supporting the other people in the department, then it's really great that you can separate that instead of being like, I'm just going to do it myself, to delegate. I feel like delegating is really complicated too, and it's something
Extremely
that you have to
complicated.
learn.
And in this field, and especially as women, like we feel like we need to do it all ourselves, and that it's only our responsibility, and like that we have to figure it out. But the reality is that like we don't. We have, like I mentioned, like we have a team, and so I love. In the past, I've had some like trust issues of like, well, I need to do it myself because otherwise it's not going to get done the way I want it to.
Of
But
course.
the reality is that it doesn't have to get done the way I want it to. Like somebody else, again, might have a different way of doing it. It might be another creative way, and it might be a whole other perspective that like I don't know about how to do that. And so I just need to like release control and again, move in a healthy like direction. And trust my teammates and trust that we're all here to make the project the best that it can be. And they were hired to do a job as well. And I want to respect that.
Of course. And is there a specific job role within your like ACD life or costume designer life that you like doing the best? Like, do you like doing fittings or do you like, helping with budget? Is there anything that you really love doing that you always look forward to when you start a project?
To be honest, what I realized that I don't even really get to do anymore is like doing like I call it arts and crafts. So like on the indie projects, we had to do everything ourselves. So coming up with creative like things to do, like bedazzling jackets, and instead of making it farming it out and having somebody else do it, or because I'm too busy, like I really miss taking the time and sitting down and like laying it all out and just being creative. A lot of my job is crisis management and it's managing people, and there are aspects of it that are creative, but for the most part it's a very small amount on an average day. So I miss the arts and crafts part for sure. But then I love shopping. I love vintage clothes. I love online shopping. I love scouring eBay and Etsy, and I love talking to new vendors that are so excited to work on the projects. Like they never thought in a million years that they would be able to like put their, you know, talk to somebody that works in the movie industry.
Oh my gosh.
You know, let alone get to sell them and see their thing on the screen.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, it's like those little things that you just kind of like don't even pay attention to because it's so normal day to day to you, but you can make somebody else's day, like just extending like a little bit of, you know, business or just sharing a little bit of information with them about like what you're doing, because they, unless you do that, I've learned that they don't even realize that like that could be, they could do that too, mm-hmm. you know?
Definitely. So. And it seems like there are little wins within your job. Like there are huge wins, of course, but like these little special wins that you get to communicate with Etsy sellers, you know, eBay sellers about, it's like, oh, your shoes that you were just, you just put on Poshmark or Etsy, they're going to be on a principal, or they're going to be, you know, on this targeted background. Like it's super special. And that's probably really great to like, probably you feel good and they feel good. And then you get someone new that you can connect with. Another person.
And also different artists. You know, like I just spoke with somebody yesterday that does, she specializes in needlework and she does all this embroidery in the UK, and she just graduated from college and she's looking to get into the industry, and, mm-hmm. you know, she doesn't really know what to do. And I was like, well, you are an artist, and that is like a whole specialty thing that you can work with in the entertainment industry and work with the costume department, because we need people like you that do that.
Definitely. Yeah, especially stuff in the like tailoring department, you know, embroidery department, because it's not as popular as it used to be, you know, not as many people are doing it. So it's a really coveted job, you know, or like, you know, it should be. And it's super great when you can meet someone like that and then, you know, maybe make a dream they didn't know they had come true. Yeah. But like working in like huge films.
Right. And again, like I said, like, you know, different working with different artists to create an end product, that mm-hmm. working with creatives is really magical. And it's so hard to imagine making a career out of it when mm-hmm. you are a creative and you're just starting out and you're like, well, how do I make money and how do I get to the next point? But like, we're doing it and we are getting paid and we've built, like, you know, an entire career on being a creative.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I kind of wanted to jump back to the union. So you are in both unions. You're in the Assistant Costume Designers Union, right? Which is like ACD and Costume Designers and Costume Illustrators.
Yeah, I'm in 892, the Costume Designers Guild.
Yes. Costume Designers Guild.
Yes. And then mm-hmm. I'm also in 705, which is the Motion Picture Costumers Union.
Right. And then how did you get into both of those? That's very impressive. How did you get into both?
So, oh goodness, I don't remember which one I got into first, mm-hmm. but 705, I worked in a costume rental house for a period mm-hmm. of time, and then 892, and I also think I collected days on commercials mm-hmm. For 705, and then 892, I believe I got in on Sympathy for Delicious. I was mm-hmm. able to use that credit. I don't believe it was union at the time, that show. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I was able to use my credit on that to get into the Costume Designers Guild. So I worked under 705 for a very long time as a shopper. And I've also been able to do something called day playing, which is, you know, helping shows out when they need extra help here and there. So kind of filling in the gaps in between longer shows. And then for the last like probably 6 years, I've been consistently working under 892 as an ACD. Yes. So it's interesting being a dual card holder. You know, I get to go to both of the meetings and learn about everything that's going on and all of the classes and the different committees that they're doing. And also, you know, we're going to talk about something down the road, but being able to mm-hmm. support my fellow costume community and understanding, right. you know, again, how, what different people, what their needs are and mm-hmm. and how I can help them.
Mm. Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to pick your brain a little bit later about something very exciting that we discussed at the beginning, the costume consultant. I'm so excited to pick your brain, but first I'm going to pick your brain about She-Hulk, because you have worked on Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson, you know, King Kong versus Godzilla, and most recently you've worked on She-Hulk. What was that experience like working on an already very popular show?
It was something I'd never done before, because I've never worked at Marvel before. And I also was never like a really big fan at that point of the Marvel. I never really got it. And I know I've had so many friends that are so into, like, you know, they buy the tickets.
Die like, hard for fans.
The midnight show beforehand. And I'm like, I don't get it. But, you know, I had to do my research and I watched every single movie. I had seen like Iron Man and, you know, Captain Marvel maybe, but I had never watched all of them. And the great thing about Disney Plus now is they have them all in chronological order, where in the past Marvel kind of releases them out of order. So I got to watch it start to finish. And I also had to learn about the Hulk, you know, and it was amazing working with Mark again, Mark Ruffalo. And
oh
when
my gosh, yeah.
Delicious. And so when he came in for his fitting, and I had reminded him we had done Sympathy for Delicious, he was like, look at where we are now. And
I was like, look how far we've come.
I was like, you've been here for a while. But like, that's really sweet. Like, it was so lovely. And so we got to reminisce about Sympathy for Delicious for a while. And it was really nice. But, you know, not only had I never worked in Marvel before, I had never worked in Atlanta. And it was our first show that we had done during COVID. So, you know, the safety protocols were changing all the time. We were lucky enough to get vaccines. And, you know, working on a show of an epic scale, it was all really new to me.
Oh yeah, I bet. I mean, it's huge scale. Marvel is a beast in itself. And I feel like the prep work with Marvel is extensive. Like you have, like, you know, watching all the films is a great, great, great way to, you know, start the Marvel journey, which is incredible. Of course, they have like this entire world that they've created that people love. And She-Hulk is a really great little cherry on top of it, especially because you probably got to learn so much about Marvel and the Marvel world. And it was probably so great to connect with Mark Ruffalo again, which is so fat. Like, that is so fabulous. I love that. That's so cool. And then, and you got and to work.
Tatiana Maslany is so lovely. And I think she did a really great job of, of being number one and just being such a great team leader and setting an example for everybody. I'm really excited for, you know, the success of the show and just how people are really excited about it.
Oh my gosh, people are so excited about it. People are buzzing all over the internet about it. It's like, She-Cool. And I was like, oh my gosh, you worked on that and I get to talk to you today. And it's so cool. And you got to work with your fabulous partner in crime, it feels like. You've done so many shows with her, with Anne Foley. And what was it like working with her on this project? Because this was a whole new thing.
It was a whole new thing. And, you know, we've gotten to travel a lot the last like 6 years. We did, you know, Godzilla versus King Kong, and I got to live at the beach for 6 months between Hawaii and Australia. It was the most incredible experience ever, and I would love to redo that. But working with Anne, we've just done so many projects together. So it, even though, you know, challenges like COVID, which was definitely a real thing, and keeping people safe and, you know, supporting our department and, and making them feel safe. It was definitely like, we have a shorthand together that we know how to operate and to get the job done, no matter how big it is.
Yeah. And it seems like you guys work really well together, of course, like obviously because you've worked so many times together. So do you guys kind of just like have a way of preparing for each project that really like works with you guys? Like, you guys have a groove now that you can go with, or is everything different?
Yeah, no, like I said, like we have a shorthand definitely. And we know that no matter what, it's going to get done. And no matter how big the show is, and you know, we just want it to be the best, and we want to, you know, we want to support our department the best way we can. Like, we had a team I think we had almost 50 people in our department on that show.
On so, She-Hulk, you had almost 50. Yeah. Oh my gosh, almost that is 50. So much to manage.
Yeah. So Anne had to fly back and forth to LA a lot for fittings, and we had a workroom in Los Angeles, and where Marilyn Madsen was overseeing building a lot of the costumes, and she's worked on a lot of Marvel projects, which we were so lucky to have her. And then in LA, in Atlanta, we had Ben Walsh was our head cutter, and he was really up to anything. So it was just, you know, we had such a fantastic crew, and a lot of the crew in Atlanta had worked on Loki before. Mm. So they knew a lot of, you know, how things go, and were big fans of Marvel, just being able to work on another project.
Right. So a lot of the team that you had, they had worked previously with like superhero type costumes, which is seems like a whole different beast. Like it seems like superhero costumes in general, be it She-Hulk, you know, Captain Marvel, anything. It seems like that's like its very own genre, because it definitely costumes is. Yeah. Especially.
Yeah. And Anne is like so talented in that, and she has had so much experience doing that in her career, so she's definitely the person for the job.
Is there a whole different language that you have to learn within costume department to work with specialty costumes or superhero costumes?
Yeah, there's a lot of different layers that go into building specialty costumes. There's a lot of different builders and molders, and you know, there's screen printing involved, and there's just a lot of different elements creatively that you have to be well versed in to be able to accomplish that. So
and the timing too, right? Like they take a long time to build typically. I'm not sure how it was on She-Hulk or some other movies that you've done, but I feel like typically they take a long time to build.
Yeah, they do, and they take multiple fittings, so you know, on any project, it just takes time. It's a specialty costume, you know, for sure. So we build it into our schedule, and it's something that is, you know, even though we're moving forward with the rest of the show, it's still something that is like a work in progress, and it just takes time, and we want to make it, you know, look the best that it can.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm so excited for the rest of She-Hulk to come out. It's so fantastic that you got to work on that. It's such a huge project. And now you can put Marvel on your resume, which is great, you know, because I feel like now you have everything, which is so cool. I would just like write that on my wall. You know, I've done this and this and this. Just like your repertoire is phenomenal. Like you should be so proud. It's so great.
Thank you. Well, it's been interesting too, like, you know, between the Marvel fans, and then as I mentioned, I did an astronaut show, and Kimberly Adams was the designer, and we were affiliated with NASA, and then also working with The Rock. Those three things, like, I never knew there was such a big community that were like super fans. I mean, there's major space nerds out there.
Yes.
You know, people get really excited about it, want to know everything about it. You know, and I actually got to go to NASA in Houston, and we dressed a lot of their space, their engineers as background.
No way.
Yeah. And like, you know, like some of them were like former like flight pilots, and some of them actually build the spacesuits, and it's just so fascinating getting to meet these people that they're just as excited to be a part of it as like I'm excited to like meet them, because I'm like, I've never met like, you know, these really smart scientist types, and being able to be at NASA and film there. And
yeah,
you know, I got a private tour at JPL, which is out here, I believe in Pasadena, which is the Jet Propulsion Lab, and learning everything about space where I just never really knew anything about it. And also learning about the different layers in the suit and like what helps them, you know, be able to breathe, and like their body temperature and how their organs move around when they're in space because of no gravity, and they have to wear compression gear to keep everything like all their organs in the same spot. I was like, what?
There's so many layers to it that you wouldn't even think about.
Yeah. So it's really, honestly, my whole career has been like a learning experience, and I'm still learning every single job. It's on the job for sure.
Yeah. And with all of the, jobs and everything you've done, you've started the costume consultant. Can you talk a little
Yes.
bit about that for us and explain what it
Absolutely.
is? Why did you
Yeah.
start it? I'm so excited to hear about
Yeah.
everything about regarding it.
I'm excited about the costume consultant too. So,
Yeah.
I got my first job by meeting somebody taking the chance on me and meeting me for coffee. And so I've always paid it forward, trying to meet anybody that has found me on the internet and meeting them and taking the time to, share information with them because someone did that for me. But with traveling so much the last couple of years and my free time has become more limited. I haven't been able to meet as many people, but it really was a passion of mine to be able to give back. So the last couple of months I took off and I worked with a life coach and I was like, how can I incorporate, helping people into my career because I don't have a lot of free time. So I want to be able to, marry it into what I do and still stay within the costume world. So the costume consultant is a business that supports people that want to get into the costume industry, as well as supporting the industry people that are already working within the costume industry. So, a lot of people that are currently working, they need help. They need advice. They need direction. They need support. Some of the things that I help people with is networking, deal negotiating. As freelancers, we have to negotiate every single job that we do, and there's so many elements that we have to negotiate. And you don't negotiate right out the bat when you're first starting out, but you get to a certain point where you can start negotiating what your rate is and different perks if you're working on location. So I help people negotiate their deals. I also recently helped somebody sign up for their health insurance. Like she just felt really intimidated by it and overwhelmed, and I walked her through the process. I hadn't done it probably in 14 years myself, but
Oh my gosh.
I had done it before. So it's, helping people figure out how to do things that I've already done. Also working on location, like what's it like? How do I find housing? How do I figure out how to find crew? Like if I'm going to Ohio in about a month and just finding local crew. Like I didn't even know that they shoot in Ohio, but there is a costume community in Ohio. So learning how to do all of those things. But so I started it with trying to help people get into the industry, but honestly, it's been mostly supporting the industry members already. And they're my peers. They're people that I've known for a long time. I'm meeting also a lot of new people. And going back to my networking world, the fact that I know so many people that when people sign up with me and they want to learn how to like meet other people or they want to change their job position, I have access to the community and people trust me if I recommend somebody that and especially if they've been through my program that they've been vetted and they can hire them on the job because how we get our jobs is all word of mouth. There's rarely anything like, job postings, and I know people use Facebook, but I've always gotten my jobs word of mouth, which is sign. It's kind of crazy in like 2020, like 2022, that like that's how you get a job. But I haven't really interviewed for jobs in years. Like people just call me and they're like, "Are you available?" So, I'm trying to create this like system and this platform to give people access to our, what we do.
And I think that a lot of people who don't have a connection or don't have, the word of mouth, who are just, really want to start out, and maybe they don't live in Los Angeles or New York and film isn't a big thing, and they live in maybe like Wisconsin or Texas or somewhere where film isn't as big, it'd be really great if they could reach out to the costume consultant and then talk with you about, I live in these places. Should I get started, doing commercial or theater? Should I move somewhere? Like, what's the process like? And also, since you're in both unions, you have like a huge, infrastructure of knowledge that you can share on both ends. If someone really wants to be a designer, but they're, you know, 22, and it's like, you need practice, of course, you need experience and contacts, you know. That's probably really helpful, because I know, like, when I was graduating college, it was hard, it was complicated, because it's like, you have to start as a PA, but how do you get that first job? You know, friends of mine who don't have connections, it's difficult, and it's really complicated.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, one thing I offer too is for people when they're first starting out, like going over what their first day on the job is going to be like, you know, like starting any job is very intimidating and can be scary. But if you've never worked in the industry, you've never been on set, you don't know, you know, I tell them, even down to like what to wear, like wearing closed-toed shoes and wearing, you know, comfortable clothes, because it's a physical job and it's long hours, and bring a notebook, bring your computer, you know, just certain things of how to be prepared, because, you know, a lot of times the costume supervisor, whoever's hiring them, they should take the time and they should go over this with them. But we're so spread thin and we're so busy that and we've also been doing this for so long that we forget what it's like for people just starting and what the experience is like. So I have an intern that I've been working with the costume consultant, and she just got her first PA job. And so I went over her first day, like what to expect the next day. And I told her, you know, how to do certain things. And she was so excited, because she was like, they asked me to come back. They were really impressed. Like, I brought my own, you know, Ziploc bags, and like, I had like things for receipts, and I was prepared. And I was like, yeah, like you wouldn't have known that if I hadn't, you know, gone over it with you.
No.
Like, but what really it like makes my heart like so full is seeing people so happy, and like the confidence building, you know, that we work with, like with even negotiating our rates, you know, people, especially as women and especially as creatives, we think that our value is tied to a monetary value. And a lot of times what I see is that people really undervalue themselves. So I help them with confidence building, and we go over it and over it and over it. And, you know, I sometimes I make people uncomfortable because they think that they don't deserve that. But I also, I know what a lot of people are making now, because I have been working with so many people. So I know what the ceiling is. I know what the producers are going to come at them with. Like, and I'm a big fan of like, and believer that if you don't ask, then you have no idea. And also communicating and sharing this with each other is so important, because if we know what our peers are making, then we know that we're not being ridiculous asking for that price or that rate. And right now too, with 892, there's a really big pay equity movement going on. And, you know, we're just trying to get equal pay to other departments that are mostly male dominated. So I think that this is such an important time to be moving the bar forward and upwards, you know, because we're already behind.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. And it's like being, you know, really open about your salary, your hourly, your weekly is super important, because one, you really don't want to be taken advantage of, you know, not only as a woman, but as like an assistant, you know, in film, it's like, you know, doing like 19 hour days is really hard. And they do push assistants to do those a lot of the time. And they give you a 4 hour turnaround with terrible pay. And then it breaks good people down, and it's really hard. But like with your confidence building, that's what I was going to say, is so important, because sometimes you feel really awkward, like the first day on a job, especially in a new career. You've been like a barista or like some, like, you know, you start as an accountant or something, and you want to go into costume. It's really complicated to know what to do the first day. And it's so great that you have a program to build that confidence, build like, okay, you're going to need to know Excel, or you're going to need to know, you know, mileage. It's like, what's the mileage rate for which place? How do I ask? Do I get a box rental? All the tiny little things, like what is tagging, like tiny little things that you wouldn't even think about.
And also like all of those words that you just used that like most people don't even know what those things are.
No. And I went to school for costume design. My first day of actual like PA and costume design, it was like 500 things that I never learned in school. And I was like, how was I supposed to know that? All I learned was like color theory. How was I supposed to know what like a tag is? How I'm supposed to safety pin the edge of a paper to a garment bag? Like, what the difference between like plastic garment bag, a hard garment bag, you know, it's all like really nitty gritty. And if you can prepare someone so they can be like the best and keep getting hired, it's so important. It's so awesome that you do that, because I know a lot, maybe it'll like promote and like, you know, want make people want to join the costume industry more, because it's not a scary industry. It's a lot of learning, of course, but it's and so it's, great. Yeah.
And like, from what I've heard from people is that it's just very secretive about how to get in, you know, there. And again, there's just lack of information out there. And I've been meeting with people, to be honest, all around the world. They're finding me, I don't even know, LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook, but you know, I've met with people in the UK, Shanghai, in Paris and Middle America, Canada. I just helped two Canadians with their do their deal in Budapest. Like, their movie was non-union, so that was like a whole other learning experience as well. You know, you have to negotiate every single little detail when you're doing non-union. So, you know, just kind of creating a blueprint for people and some type of system, because there are no there's no outline of how to do this. And you just learn as you go. And, you know, some things it took me longer to figure out in my career, that if I can show somebody else a shorter way to do it, and you know, then I would love to do that for them.
Yeah. And it's something, you know, like everyone's experience is different, and people will take what you give them and then turn it into their own thing and see like what works and everything. But I feel like with your information and your knowledge and everything, it's so great to show people like how costume departments work, how to communicate with people, you know, like maybe just what a fabric is. It's like, okay, it's like, you know, they can call you and be like, okay, we have a fitting, you know, I'm a PA. How do I help the designer, assistant costume designer, as much as I can for them to make their life easier too, you know, because that's a huge part of, you know, being assistant or anything.
Right. And, you know, even like I worked with somebody that she just got her first key customer position on a show, and she wasn't sure what was going to be expected of her. So even though she had been in the union for years, she was really nervous about starting this new show, and she wanted to do the best job she could. So I have been a key customer for many years, and every show is different, right? Like nothing is the same. It's, and people use other people in positions different ways, but I can just give at least a little bit of like the broad strokes of what to expect. And because people, again, there's not a lot of training that's happening right now because the pace is so quick, and so people are just learning as they go. But, you know, if I can give a little training, if I could give a little advice, if I can give, you know, a little pep talk of how to do things, that, you know, all you got to do is sign up for a 10-minute free discovery call, and then we can go from there and see how we can work together.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I am so excited for you with the costume consultant. I feel like I'll be calling you after this interview for the costume consultant. That's so cool. I haven't heard about anything like that. I feel like anyone who's interested in costume design should definitely call you. They could also download your downloadable PDF ebook called The Costume Consultant Set Lingo. Which is so, so, so exciting. I'm so excited for you. And it's such a great thing that you did. You're going to connect so many people. You're going to teach so many people everything there is to know about the like fantastic, you know, team that is costume design and career. And you're just going to, you know, you're just going to teach everybody so many things. And I'm so, so, so excited that I got to talk to you about the costume consultant, She-Hulk, your life, your career, everything that you've done. Where can we find you on social media?
Okay. So I have two Instagram accounts. My personal / costume design one is LK Styles. Mm-hmm. The costume consultant is The Costume Consultant. And my website for The Costume Consultant is thecostumeconsultant.com. And on all three of those things, you can find the Set Lingo ebook. And going back to that real quick, Set Lingo is what we were talking about, all of those words you were using, of, you know, what the, it's a secret language we use on set that isn't really used anywhere else. So, you know, this is kind of like a sneak peek into our world. And again, you can be prepared for your first day of learning these words.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I hope all of our viewers and listeners download your ebook. I'm so excited. I know that everyone is going to learn so much from it. I know that I'm already learning a lot during our conversation, so I know it's going to be great. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for joining us on the Designing Hollywood podcast. I can't wait to see what you do next, and everything that you've already been doing is so great. And I'm so excited. Like,
thank you,
Jess. It's just so good. It's just been so great talking to you. Thank you so much, Lindsay. I had such a great time, and we will be tagging your Instagram and the costume consultant in our show notes.
Wonderful.
So thank you so much for joining us today, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
You too.
Thank you.